I hope you've made a resolution for the new year. My friend is an elementary school principal. Name is Terry. And a couple of years ago, she was telling me a story. She said that she invited the teachers to write down their resolutions, and so she put them, the resolutions of the teachers of the school, on a bulletin board. Our resolutions for the year. One of the teachers looked through all the resolutions, and hers wasn't up there. So she threw a fit. An incredible fit. And started screaming and yelling in the hallway. And went to the office of the principal and said, "What is it that you have about me that you didn't put my resolution on the bulletin board?" And the principal said, "I didn't know your resolution wasn't on the bulletin board." So she sorted through her office and she said, "Oh, yes, here it is. I'm sorry. I neglected to put it up." This was the resolution. "I'm not going to let little things upset me this year." Oh. I don't know how you're doing. Have you broken your resolution yet, or have you even started one? I do know sometimes that we need to think beyond the resolutions. I mean, how do you see the new year? I contacted my mother, and I said, "What are you doing on New Year's Day?" And she said, "Well, this morning I have a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting in front of the fire." She was in Kansas City, and it was quite cold. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm planning out the year. I'm planning out the year, 2020. She's planning out her whole year on New Year's morning. And I said, "Mom, that's quite a goal you have to plan out your entire year on New Year's." She said, "I might as well start now and just get it all planned out so I know what I'm going to be doing every day for the whole year." How about you? Have you planned out your whole year? Have you got it all planned out every day for the next year? I said, "How long are you going to be working on this?" "All day today." You guys have planned it out, haven't you? I see. No, not quite. No, okay, yeah. Well, Michael Bosch tells a great story about archaeologist Howard Carter. In 1922, Carter was completing nearly 15 years of digging. And he was in the famous Valley of the Kings. Some of you may be aware of that, in Egypt. He wanted to find King Tut's tomb. He didn't find anything for 15 years. The money was drying up. The days of digging were coming to an end. And then the workers discovered 16 stairs leading into the earth. Thousands of baskets filled with rocks and sand had to be carried away, but eventually, in the door, there was this iron testing rod that was stuck. And there was a hole. And he inserted a candle in the hole. As his eyes grew accustomed to the light, all of a sudden the details emerged. And he saw strange animals and statues and everywhere gold. And he wrote at this moment, this is what he wrote, "For the moment I was struck dumb with amazement. A partner asked, 'Can you see anything?' And Carter's reply was, 'Oh, yes, wonderful things. St. Paul gives us some reasons that you and I can look into the future and we can light this candle of hope of Christ and see into the new year. We can look forward with anticipation instead of anxiety about what's to come. We can see beautiful things happening. One of my professors in pastoral care talked about future story and working with people who were struggling in difficult places to help them to establish not just a history of the troubles or the difficulties or the challenges of life, but to find and develop and to nurture a future story, something to live into. What's your future story? What are you living into? What are you hoping to accomplish in this coming new year? We don't have to be defined by what's behind us. We can look forward into something better. We can develop our lives. We can nurture ourselves. You know, one of the things that I try to work with people on a regular basis that are dealing with anxiety is to nurture the three. I call it the YMCA model. I don't know if you know about body, soul, and mind. Are you familiar with that? That concept was developed by the YMCA. They still use it today, body, soul, and mind. And one of the things that I try to help folks with as they look into the future is what kind of physical activity can you nurture? What kind of body image would you like to develop for yourself? How can you help to set some physical goals for yourself? Maybe just walking. Perhaps running. Perhaps some other kind of exercise that would help you physically. Helping your soul. How are you nurturing the soul? What kind of goals do you have this coming year to help you to nurture your soul? When you go to the doctor, usually the doctor will give you some kind of a physical. Anybody ever had one of those? You know what I'm talking about? This means yes, this means no. If you haven't, you probably should have. I always talk about a spiritual inventory. What kinds of spiritual disciplines are you going to develop this coming year? How's your prayer life? How are you doing in terms of your Bible study and reading? What kinds of things are you doing to nurture your soul? Folks, your soul is pretty important. And you need to set some goals towards nurturing the soul. And how are you developing the mind? I mean, what kinds of books are you reading? What kinds of classes are you taking? There are all kinds of opportunities for you to develop and nurture the mind. Have you set some goals? So I would invite you to think about body, soul, and mind. You know, everybody wants to lose weight. Everybody wants to do certain things for the coming year. But I would look beyond that at the whole person. Holistically, developing physically, emotionally, spiritually, cognitively, and setting some goals for yourself so that you can write your own future story and it can be a wonderful year for you as you set these goals and work towards accomplishing them. Don't set them too high, make them realistic, but at least begin with some ideas about how you can better yourself for the coming year. There's some good advice that Paul gives us, and first of all, he tells us this, we're blessed. You know, I don't know if you know you're blessed. Do you know how blessed you are? Are you thankful for the life that you have? Have you recognized the blessings that God has poured out upon you? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't feel blessed? You should. Certain king had two servants. To the first he said, I want you to travel for 6 months through my kingdom, and I want you to bring back a sample of every weed you can find. Second servant, the king said, I want you to travel through my kingdom for 6 months, and I want you to bring back every sample of flour you can find. 6 months later, they both came back. To the first king said, have you carried out my command? verses that I have, and I was amazed to find you have a lot of weeds in your kingdom. In fact, there's nothing but weeds in your kingdom. And to the king's question, the second servant said, you know, I have, and I am absolutely amazed at how many beautiful flowers there are in your kingdom. In fact, I couldn't find anything but beautiful flowers in your kingdom. The two servants each found what they were looking for. So do we. Are there no blessings in your life? Do you have no one who loves you, no beauty outside of your window, no strength left in your body, no mind to guide you to new pleasures and opportunities, no faith to bear you up under challenges or difficulties? Are you really without any resources? Count your blessings, says the old hymn, right? You know that hymn, don't you? Count your blessings. In Leadership Magazine, Mark Tidd tells about an old man who came to the back door of a house and some college kids were renting in the house. And the old man's eyes were glassy. His face glistened over. He had the silver stubble in his beard, you know. And he clutched a wicker basket. And in the basket, there was some produce for sale. They were uneasy. They made a quick purchase, but they weren't quite sure about the guy. And to their chagrin, he came back next week. Introduced himself as Mr. Roth, the man who lived in the shack down the road. Their fears kind of subsided a little bit. They got close enough to realize it wasn't alcohol, it was cataracts. He couldn't see. That's why he was stumbling. On subsequent visits with him carrying his basket, he would shuffle in. And on one, he brought a harmonica. And he started puffing out old gospel tunes on the harmonica. In between the conversations about religion and vegetables. And on one visit, he said, you know, the Lord is so good. I came out of my shack this morning, and I found a full bag of shoes on my porch. That's wonderful, Mr. Ross, the student said. We're happy for you. And then he said, you know what's even more wonderful? I know some people who could use them. I can't wait to give it to them. Count your blessings. Folks, you're blessed. I'm blessed. Paul says, more than this, we are also chosen. Chosen. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. You and I have been chosen. Can you get your mind around an idea so powerful as that, that you were chosen? Chosen by God? Had a fellow ask me not long ago, what makes you think that you can preach? And I said, well, I don't think that I can preach, but God called me. Anyway, just goes to show you, God can call the most odd of people, and even me. Chosen. Chosen. So were you. And whatever it is that you're doing, however it is you're using your gifts, do you really think that all of that came because of you? Just because of you? You did all that? Do you really think that? I love the Billy Graham illustration where he talks to the old country farmer. He's doing a revival, and it was in a little country church, and the farmer was driving down the road. Billy Graham was sitting next to him. They were driving in the old truck, and as they were going down the road, Billy Graham looked over, and on one of the fence posts, there was sitting a turtle. And Billy Graham looked at the farmer and said, "Look at there, there's a turtle sitting there on that fence post." Farmer began the conversation. He kept talking about something else he learned. He said, "You know," he said, "Billy Graham, how'd you get to be the person that you are?" "Well," he said, "it wasn't all me. I guess," he said, "I'm sort of like that turtle on the fence post. Somebody else put him there. He didn't get there on his own. And neither have you. You're chosen by God, and God has gifted you in ways that you are used for God to do the work that God wants done. And you may think that you don't have the kinds of gifts that you can use that can make a difference in this world. But I'm here to tell you that you do. I ask you, do you have love in your heart? And if so, is there someone who needs the love of Christ that you know? Could you give it to them? I mean, love. Sure you can. And I'm here to tell you that makes all the difference. Has in my life. The people who've shown love to me. They didn't have to. But they did. And it helps you through, doesn't it? And can't you make a difference in someone else's life by showing that same kind of love? You're chosen by God to be a carrier of His love into the world. You have an opportunity this coming year to find ways to use the gifts that God's given you, and especially the gift of love, to offer that, to make a difference. I think that fulfills the gospel criteria of loving God and loving others, doesn't it? So what kinds of goals do you have? You've been blessed. You've been chosen. You have an opportunity now to make some new commitments for the coming year. You can nurture your body, your soul, your mind. You can set some new goals, and you can write for yourself a future story, knowing that God will lead you and guide you along the way. My hope is that as you look into the new year, that you light the candle of Christ, and as you look in, you see some beautiful things for yourself, for others. You're a child of the Most High God. Live into it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all the ways that you have blessed our lives. So often, God, we fail to realize and recognize those blessings. But as we look into the new year, Father, we pray that you might direct our path, guide us in some new ways towards some new habits to nurture, especially the souls that we have, to find new ways of offering love both to you and to others. So we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.